Please stand for the reading of God's holy word. From 1 Samuel chapter 2, the second chapter, verses 1 to 10. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against mine enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one beside you. Nor is there any rock like our God. Do not go on boasting so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken to pieces, but those who have stumbled strap on strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry cease to be hungry. And even infertile women give birth to seven, but she who has many children languishes. The Lord puts to death and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and brings up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He humbles. He also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the garbage heap to seat them with nobles. And he gives them a seat of honor as an inheritance. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he sets the world upon them. He watches over the feet of the godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a person prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be terrified. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king, and will exalt the horn of his anointed."
The New Testament reading today will be from Philippians 4, 4 through 7. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all people. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus."
You may be seated. Well, I'd like to wish everyone a very happy Mother's Day this morning. To honor Mother's Day, we will be looking at the faith of one of the mothers of the Old Testament. The faith of motherhood is revealed much more in the Old Testament than the New. In the New Testament, we have Mary, the mother of Jesus, and then Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. But that is about all that is mentioned. The mothers of the apostles are not mentioned at all. And nothing is said about the lives of Timothy's mother and grandmother, but we do know their names from the epistles to Timothy by the Apostle Paul. But in the Old Testament, we have many more lives of mothers for most of the biblical characters. But today we are going to honor the mother of the first prophet of the prophetic age for the nation of Israel. We are going to look at the faith of a woman who would give birth to a prophet that will be anointed, that will anoint the first king of Israel, and his name was King Saul. That prophet would be then anoint the little shepherd boy, David, the king as king of Israel in Saul's place. God withdrew the anointing of King Saul for his disobedience, which should be a lesson for us all, but that will be a subject for another time. For those who know the Bible well, you probably know the prophet I am talking about from the clues I've already given. The prophet's name was Samuel, And who was Samuel's mother? His mother was named Hannah. And Hannah's song was the Old Testament reading for today. To honor Hannah and to honor Mother's Day, for Hannah is one of the great mothers of the Bible. Hannah's song of praise to God is really a prayer, and one of the most significant prayers of the whole Bible, for it points to the faith of a godly woman of faith. It is a beautiful picture of faith. To more fully understand the significance of Hannah's prayer, we need to know her place in history of God's chosen people. The children of Israel had been in the promised land, the land promised to Abraham in the Abrahamic covenant. After the death of Moses, Joshua took the Jewish people across the Jordan River and into the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They enter the period of time where the law of Moses was administered by a series of judges. There were female judges during that period of time, and one of them is recorded in the Bible as Deborah. This period of time was called the time of the judges, and it happens just before the monarchy and the choosing of the kings for Israel. This period of time was approximately 350 years long and ends when the first king of Israel was anointed king of Israel, and as I said before, his name was Saul. The key word here is anointed. And as we will see in Hannah's prayer, Israel was promised a king while Moses was still alive, and that was promised in the book of Deuteronomy. God held off giving Israel a king for a long time in the history of his people, for God wanted to be the king over his people. And let us look for a moment at what kind of instructions he gave them after he finally decides to give them a king. This is recorded in Deuteronomy 17, verses 14 to 20. When you enter into the land the Lord your God is going to give you, and take possession of it, and you say, "Let us have a king over us like all the nations around us," be sure to appoint over you a king that God chooses. He must be from your brothers. Do not place a foreigner over you. One who is not a brother Israelite. The king, moreover, must not require a great number of horses for himself, or take the people back to Egypt. He must not take many wives, or his heart will be led astray. He must not accumulate a large amounts of gold and silver. When he takes the throne, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of the law taken from the priests who are Levites. He is not to consider himself better than his brothers and turn from the law either to the right or to the left. Then his descendants will reign for a long time in the kingdom of Israel. So what does that have to do with Hannah? Well, we need to know why Hannah's prayer that she prays in the first place. And then we need to look at that prayer and find out what it has to do with the kingdom promised to that nation Israel. Why is Hannah praying to God? Hannah is offering up her song of praise to God for finally answering her long unanswered prayer for a child. For Hannah's womb had been closed by God, and she was a barren woman. And this was a disgrace for any woman in that time, for God had commanded his people to be fruitful and to fill the whole earth with people. What was the reason for the delay of almost 400 years before God gave them a king? It was the time when they would become a nation and then take possession of that land to subdue it and destroy the pagan worshiping people of the land of Cana. The law of Moses was still in effect, but the people had taken more than one wife. And this was a practice they had handed down from the time of Abraham, and they had not given it up. For polygamy was prohibited by the law of Moses, but God gave them unmerited favor in the face of their continued sin. It was one of the best examples of God's grace and mercy in the Bible. God would withhold his judgment for these sins until a later time. And we see, just like the case of Sarah and Hagar, the wives of Abraham, the jealousy and envy and animosity that occurred in Abraham's family was also happening in the marriage of Hannah with her husband Elkanah. For Elkanah was married before he took Hannah as his wife to a woman named Peninnah, and she was fertile and had many sons and daughters. But Elkanah loved Hannah, and we should remember the problems caused by the husband of one loving one of his wives more than another in Jacob's family. Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. The sons of Leah were jealous of Rachel's two sons, Joseph and Benjamin. So Peninnah would provoke her rival because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb. And Hannah wept bitterly and could not eat. And Elkanah could not console her. And then Hannah makes a vow to the Lord, saying, "O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look at the affliction of thy maidservant and remember me, do not forget your maidservant, but will give me a son. And when I give him to the Lord all the days of his life, a razor will never come to his head. And when she was praying, only her lips were moving. She was pouring out her soul before the Lord in silence. And then Hannah conceived, and she bore a son. And she turned to this, and she named the son Samuel, for this boy will be dedicated to the Lord as in her vow. And so Hannah offers her prayer of praise to the Lord for answering her prayer. And Hannah had many other sons and daughters after that. But she took the boy Samuel, after he was weaned, up to the temple and gave him to the priest Eli, where the boy would live for the rest of his life. So let us look again at Hannah's prayer that we heard in the Old Testament reading today and see why it is so significant. We see that Hannah's prayer is a song of rejoicing in her opening words. "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord because I rejoice in thy salvation." Then Hannah testifies to the sovereignty of God and his righteous judgment. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down into Sheol and raises up. The word Sheol is the name for the place of the dead in Hebrews. And then she says in the last two verses of her prayer something very significant, and here are her words. "The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king, and will exalt the horn of his anointed." And since humans do not have horns, the Hebrew word kurin spelled Q-E-R-E-N, must be taken in the figurative metaphor or the metaphorical sense here. And that meaning would be the anointed one's strength or might, the power of the king. God is bringing in a new era or a new age into the history of the nation of Israel. And we are going from that age of judges into the age of the prophets and the creation of the monarchy, the kings of Israel, that was promised in the way back in the book of Deuteronomy. And notice that Hannah makes the statement about the future. If Hannah's prayer comes true, her words are not a prediction but a prophecy, because her words are from God. So this boy, Samuel, will grow up to be the first prophet of the prophetic age. But Hannah is a prophetess in her own right. She has confessed in her prayer that the king of Israel is coming and that he will be the anointed king. Samuel will be the prophet and that will anoint the first king of Israel. And as I said before, that is King Saul. And as I preached before, the anointing of King Saul was withdrawn, and the little shepherd boy David will become the anointed king of Israel in his place. God will then promise to David that a descendant of his will take the throne and his kingdom will have no end. That is the Davidic covenant. The significance of Hannah's prayer is that when she says the words, "I will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed," she is referring to the anointed one, the Messiah. Here, Hannah's prayer is the first explicit reference to the Messiah or the Christ in the Bible. Messiah and Christ being the same thing. So God chooses a woman to announce the coming of his only begotten son, the king, and he will be anointed for service. You see, the anointing was not a new thing. All the priests from Moses' brother Aaron, the first high priest, were anointed by pouring a horn of oil over their heads for service to God in ministering the sacrifice for the sins of the people, first in the tabernacle, which was a tent, and then later in Solomon's temple, a building. So Jesus was the Messiah, anointed for service as high priest and king. A king would be a servant of God to make, through his suffering, a permanent atonement for the sins of the people Israel and the sins of the whole world. Let me close in prayer. O Lord, let us think how Hannah's prayer points so clearly to the beloved Son Jesus, and how Jesus' perfect love removes our fears and anxieties in this troubling time. You, O Jesus, are our blessed hope. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Let us remember that what Christ did for us on the cross in this Easter season. Amen.